a good thing we didn't end that hymn with verse 4, because that's not a good place to end. We need that good news of verses 5 and 6, the assurance that on the last day we will not be delivered over to the devil, but through Jesus our Savior, we'll be taken to be with him in peace and joy of heaven. We give our attention now to the sermon text for this morning from Hebrews chapter 12. That's the second reading appointed for today. You can find those verses printed at the bottom of page 7 in the service folder. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us get rid of every burden and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with patient endurance the race that is laid out for us. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who is the author of our faith and the one who brings it to its goal. In view of the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of God's throne. Carefully consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinful people, so that you do not grow weary and lose heart. This is the word of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you a runner? Some people can't stand even the thought of having to run more than just a very short distance. Others, if you're like that, if you can believe it, others actually enjoy the experience of running, or at least they tell themselves and others that they do. Maybe they really do find it invigorating and energizing. And for others, maybe their bodies simply won't allow them to run very much at all, or at least not as much as they would like. But whether you enjoy running or not, or are able to run much or not, I would imagine that if you're an adult and if you've seen your doctor recently, well, chances are that he or she has probably told you to get some more exercise. It's good for you. It's good for your heart, for your lungs, for your muscles, for your bones, and the natural mood lifters and mood stabilizers that God has designed our bodies to produce through exercise do wonders for our overall emotional and psychological well-being. But no matter what your position on the importance of physical fitness might be, the author of the biblical book of Hebrews encourages all of us to engage in a running contest designed to test the limits of our spiritual fitness. He says, "Let us run with patient endurance the race that is laid out for us." What kind of race is this? Who are the participants in this race? What factor does conditioning play in the success in this race? Who is the favorite to win? Well, the word of our God from Hebrews provides expectation of vigorous spiritual exercise that is needed to compete in and to win this race. Factor one in the race is this: there is a race, and you, all of us are in it. With just two words, "let us," the author of the Hebrews tells us that we, all believers in Jesus, are entered in a race. That's right, all are entered in a race. Even those in wheelchairs, all the way up to those in peak condition, those in diapers, and those in three-piece suits and dressed to the nines, those who feel frustrated, and those who feel fulfilled. All forgiven sinners who are members of the body of Christ are lined up for this race. Are you retired feeling that you're not so suited anymore for physical acts of exertion? Well, suit up, you are still running. Are you enduring some private agony that has sapped your strength and energy for months, perhaps even years? You are still a child of God who is running in this race. Toddlers and seniors totter down the track together along with everyone else in between. It is our privilege to run our baptismal birthright. But you might ask, what kind of race is this? Tell us about the layout, the race course, the distance, the details. Sometimes the best place to begin is at the end. The finish line of our race lies beyond the boundaries of this life and time. We're headed together with Jesus for the city that is to come, for the eternal throne of God. According to God's good and gracious will, that is our destination. And as for the course layout, well, it is our path through life, custom designed for each participant in the race. But with all the commonly found cross-country obstacles, uphills, downhills, and straightaways that we know so well. And it also contains surprises that will undoubtedly baffle and perplex us as we encounter them throughout our lives. But this race course that God has laid out for us is not like the rat race that the world around us promotes. That's the one where you're in the middle and you can't find your way back to the beginning or forward to the finish line. That's the one that seemingly is without root or without purpose. That's the one that will wear you down to a frazzle until you finally give up in exhaustion. No, that is not for us. Remember that our race has a distinct destination. We are running toward the eternal city of God, the New Jerusalem, and His throne. Does that final stop excite you? Are you ready for the victor's crown of life there in the New Jerusalem in heaven? Well, next, after you think about the course that is laid out in front of you, next in any racer's mind is a competition check. Who else is entered in the race? What are my chances of winning? The list of participants in our race is more than impressive, according to the author of the book of Hebrews. In fact, it is astounding. It includes angels, saints, patriarchs, and heroes, all involved, along with the flesh and blood fellow travelers that we call brothers and sisters in Christ. Again, in verse 1, we read, "We are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses." If you've run the Chicago Marathon or one of the other big marathons, you know the experience that you're one among tens of thousands of runners, but also there are probably hundreds of thousands or perhaps millions of people lined up along the race course to cheer the runners along. And so perhaps after you've spent hundreds of hours of training, probably running mostly on your own to lead up to that race event, on the day of the race you feel, certainly you're running and it takes energy, but also you feel as if you're being carried along by the cheering crowds who are lined along the race course, cheering the runners on. And that is what it's like in our spiritual race toward heaven. Surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. We're set not to run among competitors, but among communicants. And the goal of those that God puts alongside of us in this race is not to jostle or elbow us out of the way in order to take our place and get ahead of us, but to lend us strength and encouragement so that we all reach the goal of heaven together. These race companions are given by God to us to help keep us on the course toward heaven. And who is in that cloud of witnesses? Well, the magnificent list of the faithful from Hebrews chapter 11, just before the verses of our reading, offer a glimpse at this throng of those who trusted in God, who were sure of what they hoped for and certain of what they did not see. Stalwarts in the faith, such as Abraham, Isaac, and even crafty Jacob, Moses, they all jog along into view, along with some with very checkered pasts like Rahab, Gideon, Samson, and King David. None of these were superhuman saints who were holier than thou than the rest of us. No, but these were chosen leaders by God We're running alongside of you and me together down that race course. Imagine them alongside of you, above you, behind you, and before you on that path to heaven. Does this remembrance bring strength and comfort? Well, then run on toward the goal. Unless the search for famous faces among that great cloud of witnesses around you become too fevered, we are reminded that there are countless millions, billions even, of anonymous heroes and heroines of the faith who are also together in that great cloud of witnesses as well. Those who Hebrews chapter 11 describes as having faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. Will not these, the Lord's warriors of the road, have tales of God's power to tell when we reach that finish line together? Don't the aches and pains of our problems lose a bit of their sting and of their pain and stiffness when compared to the terrible predicaments of those who suffered so greatly for their faith in Jesus? And what about those who are running with us now, those who we walk together through this earthly life with? Think about how we are surrounded in our faith community, in our church, with living examples of Jesus' beatitudes. Blessed are the meek, the merciful, the peacemakers, the poor in spirit, those who serve him gladly and faithfully despite difficult circumstances that they face in their lives. As Jesus promised, they will see God. That's what a good finish is all about in this race. Aren't we lifted up in spirit by this great gathered group, by this mighty cloud of witnesses? Then run on toward the goal. And the next question is a personal one. Am I ready? Well, attitude and conditioning are the athlete's secret to success. Run with patient endurance, with perseverance, we are told. Throw off every burden that weighs us down and the sin that so easily ensnares us, we are advised. Strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, we are encouraged. Run hard and run lean. Strength of will and superior physical fitness are the racer's edge. This is tough and gritty, real workout talk. So how fit are we for this spiritual race? When it comes to throwing off weight, there's certainly no culture more committed to diet and exercise than modern America is. From fad diets to exercise trends, from gimmicky equipment to austere and Spartan avoidance programs, from common sense health advice to uncommonly nonsensical mystical cures, so many people are striving for good conditioning. And so we exercise our weak knees until our tendons and muscles are strong and ready to move. We strive to monitor and to get rid of every heartbeat that is out of rhythm. We flush clogged arteries with medicines and herbal remedies. Good conditioning, it seems, is a full-time job. Thank goodness that our spiritual regimen, as outlined in the book of Hebrews, is far less complicated than all of that. In fact, it is downright simple. Throw off sin, we read in verse 1. Chuck that exercise, that clinging fatty deposit, out of the window. No problem. God says, throw off sin, and then run on if you can. And we can do just that through Jesus our Savior, who has paid for all of that sin for us. By our own efforts, this would be precisely where the race would end for all of us. Because after all has been said, even about that mighty cloud of witnesses, the race would be over before it started if we relied on our own efforts. That stone wall, dead end, we would run smack up against is our sin and our inability to get rid of it on our own. Because no matter how hard we try to throw off that sin by ourselves, it insists on sticking to us. Because we were born with it, with our sinful nature. And so by that sinful nature, we stand in opposition to God, in rebellion to Him and to His will, His plan of love for all people and salvation. We stand by nature in rebellion, running, zigzagging down the path to destruction, away from the finish line of eternal life with Him in heaven. Because of that sinful nature, we would simply be sitting at the side of the road at the starting line, blind and dead and powerless in our sin. None of the great heroes of faith could push us along on the course. The fleetest of feet of those witnesses could not pull us along together with them toward the finish line. Because of our sinful nature, we are on our own, condemned by God's law, which reveals our sinful state. The Apostle Paul writes, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Fallen runners stumbling around in the dark, we would be sunk by the weight of our sin into death. By ourselves, we cannot leave the starting line, much less cross the finish line and approach the throne of God in glory, until we realize that by ourselves, we are finished." Christian race finally does not belong to the fittest, the fastest, and the hardiest. No, it belongs to those who, paradoxically, give up. It belongs to those who quit. It belongs to those who die to themselves. For the Christian, the race begins with death, with the loss of life. Return to the baptismal font, where we were buried with Christ into death through baptism. In that location, helpless and spiritually 6 feet under, we were given the ability to fix our eyes on Jesus for the first time, the eyes of our heart, as described by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, became focused there at our baptism, not on ourselves, but by the power of the Holy Spirit working through that water connected with God's word in baptism. He focused the eyes of our hearts in faith on Jesus, who endured the cross for us, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And for many of us who were baptized as infants, it's hard for us to appreciate the surpassing grace of God in calling us to be His own at that time, because for us, baptized as young children, it is beyond our memory, our ability to recall. But yet in truth, in the mind of God, we became runners in the kingdom race on that day, the day of our baptism, totally dependent on Him as we still remain today. Our spiritual eyes were given, even then, the vision of the very throne room of God, in which, in that heavenly place, our seats have been prepared and reserved for us for that everlasting victory banquet together with our Heavenly Father, with our Savior Jesus. It has all already been accomplished for us in Christ Jesus. The race is not our race. It is His race. He has gained the winner's circle and the victor's crown for us. Jesus is the victor. He is the one at the head of the track. To win the crown of life for us, He had to crush the opposition in that competition that was foretold already at the beginning after Adam and Eve's first fall into sin, when God promised that one special offspring of the woman would crush the devil's head, would destroy the devil's power over us. Sent in the Father's love, He bore the cross to the incredible time-accumulated weight of sin of the world, from the fall into sin until the final judgment. He perfected our faith. He brought our faith to its goal in His suffering and death on the cross for us. The divine working of God caused him to be raised from the dead back to life, and by his grace, we have been made alive together with him. Thank God, because we are indeed in this race of life in faith, justified, forgiven sinners, declared victors, saints of God. And given that status, we are exhorted, encouraged, called on to remain in Christ Jesus in faith until we are transported to the eternal throne room of God. We will wake up each morning with our toes touching the racetrack of the life of faith. And how can we keep the Christian racer's edge? Well, we follow the leader. With humble and thankful hearts, we begin each day with a born-again exercise of contrition, repentance, and thanksgiving for God's forgiveness and salvation through Jesus, focusing our hearts and our minds each day on the forgiving love of Jesus, our Savior. Running in Christ, we are not only surrounded by loving fellow witnesses, but we are privileged to lend aid and comfort to others on the course as well. Strength, the spiritual breathing capacity, the personal and community power are completely bound up in the abiding presence of Jesus, our Savior, with us as we remember and receive in word and sacrament all of the blessings of his love and his forgiveness for us. One of the most spiritually athletic performers ever to take to the track of this race toward heaven was the Apostle Paul. Listen to his words in Philippians chapter 4. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me, forgetting what is behind and straining forward toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, run the race of life in faith with a goal of heaven sure and certain through Jesus our Savior. Amen.